الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين In the Quran Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences Surah Bani Israel with mentioning the miraculous journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Masjid Haram to Masjid Aqsa. Allah ta'ala says, سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده. Glorious is that being who had taken his slave during a journey of night from Masjid Haram to Masjid Aqsa, the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends special blessings and special barakah. لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا. And on this Mubarak journey, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished to show his slave, his servant, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of his special signs. From Masjid Haram to Masjid Aqsa, a journey at night, the Nabi of Allah is being taken on. And from Masjid Aqsa, he is commanded to lead the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, from Adam alayhi salam right till Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam, every Nabi and Rasul that came in the world, he is commanded to lead them in salah, to signalize and signify that he is Imamul Anbiya wal Mursaleen, that he is the greatest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's servants, the Imam of all the messengers of the past. And from there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the seven heavens, showed him Jannah and Jahannam, revealed the special signs upon him, allowed him the special meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allowed him to speak to Allah, granted him and his ummah the blessing of salah, and thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was brought back. All this took place in just a small fraction of the night. So in this Mubarak verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about two great masjids. The position of Masjid Aqsa is so esteemed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it part of Quran and Allah made it part of Islam. Masjid Aqsa, on one occasion it is mentioned, Hazrat Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala and asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Ya Rasulullah, ayyu masjid fil ardi awwal. O Nabi of Allah, which masjid was the first masjid in the world? Ayyu masjidin wudi'a fil ardi awwal. Which masjid was built first in the world? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Al-Masjid al-Haram. And then he says, Thumma ayyu, after Masjid al-Haram, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-Masjid al-Aqsa. So the Sahabi Hazrat Abu Zar radiallahu anhu asked, O Nabi of Allah, kam baynahuma. What was the time between the construction of both masjids? What was the time that elapsed between the construction of Masjid al-Haram and Masjid al-Aqsa? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 40 sana, rawahu Muslim, 40 years. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam when he came in the world to build Masjid al-Haram. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam built the Kaaba Sharif in Makkah Mukarram. 40 years thereafter, Allah ta'ala commanded Nabi Adam alayhi salam to travel to Baytul Muqaddas and build Masjid al-Aqsa. It is mentioned that this as in the time of Nuh alayhi salatu salam, the floods had engulfed this entire world and everything was destroyed. It was at that time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifted the Kaaba Sharif. And everything was wiped out. Even Masjid al-Aqsa also, there was no sign of it. Then came the time of Hazrat Dawud alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to rebuild Masjid al-Aqsa. Hazrat Dawud alayhi salatu salam commenced the construction, but he was informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, O Dawud, the completion of this masjid won't take place on your hands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destined that it takes place on the hands of your son Sulaiman alayhi salam. So prior to Hazrat Dawud alayhi salam leaving this world, that he made a bequest to his son Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam that he should complete the masjid. Some reports mention that Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, when he became the Nabi of Allah, when he became the king of his time, is this took over kingship from his father at the age of 13. And 4 years after he became the king, he commenced the construction of Masjid al-Aqsa. Sulaiman alayhi salam passed away at the age of 53, some say 54. So from 13 to 53, a long period of 40 years, Allah blessed him with rulership in the world, where he ruled over the entire world. And other reports mention at the age of 33. So 33 to 53, his rule in this world as a king was 20 years. And after he became the king, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him nubuwwat, 4 years thereafter, Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam commenced the construction of Masjid al-Aqsa. Now when he commenced the construction of Masjid al-Aqsa, he was informed by Allah that this masjid will be the masjid of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was informed. He knew it. And this will be the headquarters of Mahdi and Isa alayhi salam. Nevertheless, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, he commenced. Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala, it is reported that he mentioned that I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on one occasion that, O Nabi of Allah, what is the position of Masjid al-Aqsa in the world? Nabi alayhi salam told, O Huzaifa, the position of Masjid al-Aqsa from all the structures in the entire world is that this structure stands out unique. It has a distinguished position in the sight of Allah from all the different structures and different masajid in the world. And then Nabi al-Islam informed him that Sulaiman al-Islam was divinely assisted and helped and supported by Allah to construct this masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the jinnat in his control, in his service, to build his masjid. And gold and silver, emeralds and rubies, expensive material was used in the construction of Masjid al-Aqsa. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam had a huge army of insan and jinnat, and he allocated tasks to each group. A certain group of jinnat were commanded to dive into the ocean to bring the gold, the silver, the rubies, expensive, precious material. Another jamaat was commanded to bring huge rocks pieces of stone from one part of the world to another part. Then another group was commanded to cut the stone. Another group to lay the bricks and commence the construction. And in this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him with the honor of completing the house of Allah. It is mentioned that he embellished, decorated and adorned the house of Allah with such material. Gold, silver, rubies, diamonds, everyone. That at night it would shine, it would shine. It had a special glitter and glamour, a special noor. But just after the demise of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, the kings of Egypt came at different times. After 400 years also, Bukht and Nasr came and invaded Baytul Muqaddas. And all this wealth was stolen, causing a lot of damage to the masjid, havoc in the land, killing, looting, plunging, destroying everything. Masjid al-Aqsa, Baytul Muqaddas went to different phases. Allah makes me, وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتِينَ وَلَتَعْلُنَّ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا. Allah says that we informed Bani Israel in the Kitab, in the Torah, we informed them that you people will not remain on the path of Hidayat. You will deviate from the right path, from the straight path. لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ, you will commit fasad, transgression in the land. وَلَتَعْلُنَّ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا, and you will express haughtiness. You will commit excesses, looting, plunging, killing, committing all types of sins. And then our azab will come on you. And then you will come back right, and then again you will go off the path. And again our azab will come. Quran Allah mentions all this. These people, Bani Israel, were informed by Allah in the Torah. This is what is written, and this is how you people are going to continue. Bani Israel were a very ungrateful nation. They killed many Anbiya. And then we find Allah's azab came. The enemy took charge, plunging within their homes, killing, looting, stealing everything. And then when they came in, that's why this ummah also is commanded that we also should come onto the path of the sunnah. As long as this ummah will remain on the path of hidayat and the sunnah, Allah's divine help and support will be with us. But when we move off the sunnah, then Allah's help also will shift away. That is the time when we find that Islam will be under attack in all quarters of the world. Allah saved the Muslims. Nevertheless, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, when he completed the masjid, it was a day of honor, it was a day of happiness. He was so elated, he was so happy and pleased, that he extended a dawah to everybody, and he sacrificed many, many animals in appreciation and gratitude to Allah for honoring him with this honor of completing the house of Allah. It is mentioned that he slaughtered 120,000 goats and sheep. Between goats and 120,000. And 20,000 oxen feeding the people, expressing the happiness and thanks of Allah. Different narrations mention different du'as that he made on that occasion. The Rawayat of Daylami mentioned that he made three du'as. The first du'a that he made, he begged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, grant me such a decision and judgment, hukman yusadifu hukma, that conforms to your hukam. Whenever I have to pass judgment, when I have to rule, when I have to pass a decision, it shall always conform to what is pleasing to you, O Allah. O Allah, grant me habli mulkan la yambaghi li ahadin min ba'di. Such a kingdom you grant me that nobody else has. Don't be exclusive to me. And the third, that, O Allah, whoever will enter this masjid, la yuridu illa salafi. His intention is only to perform salah. That he should not leave this masjid, illa kayawmin waladathu ummuhu. Like the day his mother gave birth when he leaves the masjid. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned the first du'as were accepted. The third du'a, I hope it's accepted. In other hadith, it is mentioned that Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, he stood on the sakhra, on the rock. And then he lifts his hands and he cries to Allah in dua. How beautiful. Imagine the Nabi completed this task. It's a day of happiness, a day of immense joy. But what is the heart of this Nabi bubbling with? This is the thing to see. See, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, now he builds the Kaaba Sharif. What was the kayfiyat and condition of his heart, the heart of his son, Hazrat Ismail at that time? Rabbana taqabbal minna. Wallah, this was not worthy, but you accepted. Out of your sheer mercy or grace, it was not, whatever we did, it's not worthy of presenting in your court. Taqabbal minna, innaka anta as-sami'ul. Wallah, you're all hearing and you're all knowledgeable. When a person completes salah also, we are commanded according to the sunnah, we must say astaghfirullah, so 3 times. Why? To remind ourselves that this salah is not in conformity to the majesty of Allah. Allah's greatness, I'm presenting this salah. It's not worthy. Oh Allah, but I ask your forgiveness, accept it. So see Hazrat Ibrahim, see how he completes the Kaaba Sharif. This is the condition of his heart. He's not elated and puffed up with pride. You know, we did it. Look what we did. We put up this masjid. It's Allah's grace. If Allah accepts it, it is honor. It's a great honor for us. There we find Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he's entering Makkah Mukarramah as a victorious leader. How is he entering? Imagine this very, very same land that he and his Sahaba were driven out. They were treated, harassed, mercilessly persecuted. They were forced to leave this Mubarak land. 8 years later, they're entering Makkah Mukarramah as a victorious leader. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hazrat Mufti Musa Rahmatullahi mentioned poetry, Fatihana, Makke aaye, Sar jukaye, Chashmanam, Aman ka, Ela kiya, Nadim huye, Ahle watan. He's sitting on the conveyance on his camel, his head is lowered, tears are welled up in his eyes, falling, crying to Allah out of gratitude. Fatihana, the poet sums it up, encapsulates, captures the scene. He says, this beautiful Nabi of Allah is entering as a victorious leader. Fatihana, Makkah aaye. He comes to Makkah Mukarramah. Sar jukaye, Chashmanam, his head is lowered. And tears are falling from his eyes. His beard is wet with the tears. Out of gratitude to Allah that you brought that day, that we enter Makkah Mukarramah with honor. Aman ka e'la kiya nadim huye ahle watan. And then he calls out, he declares that today there will be safety and sanctuary for one and all. Today is a day of peace for everybody, not only for the Muslims, but for the kuffar also. That those very same people who persecuted them, treated them most mercilessly, oppressively, those people were put to shame. This was our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is how that Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam is completed the Kaaba. This is how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is entering as a victorious leader. Now as the Sulaiman Islam, he stands on that rock and he cries to Allah. And he cries to Allah. He says, oh Allah, I beg you and I implore you and oh Allah, that how you granted me the tawfiq and grace to build your house. Oh Allah, I beg you to grant me the grace to show appreciation for this favor. Oh Allah, how you granted me the grace of building your home. Wallah, I beg you to grant me the grace and that heart to be grateful, ever grateful to you, to recognize that it was you who did it, I didn't do it, that this great ni'mat I must continue to make shukr for. And wallah, I beg you to keep me on hidayat, and don't snatch away that hidayat from me. Imagine this is the Nabi of Allah. Imagine the Nabi of Allah. Allahu Akbar. And this is the dua. And then he says, wallah, I cry to you and I beg you, I make 5 du'as for all those who will enter my masjid. Masjid al-Aqsa. And the one who enters this masjid with the intention of making tawbah, wallah, you forgive him and forgive all his sins. Wallah, and the one who enters this masjid with some fear, fearing some harm, wallah, you allay his fear, his concerns and grant him ease and grant him protection and safety. And the one who enters this masjid in the state of illness and sickness, wallah, you grant him shifa. And the one who enters this masjid in poverty, oh Allah, you enrich him with the wealth of this world. And you make it easy for him in life. And the 5th dua, the one who enters this masjid to make ibadat, oh Allah, turn your special mercy and focus towards him. As long as he does not come with wrong intentions or the intention of oppressing, then oh Allah, you bless him. This was the 5 du'as he made. He mentioned Allah Rabbul Izzat chose Hazrat Sulaiman Alayhi Salaam and the Masjid of Sulaiman Alayhi Salaam, that not only was this the Qibla of the Ahle Kitab, the people of the book. This was chosen to be the Qibla of the Muslims in the beginning of Islam. It was the Qibla of Islam and the Muslims. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was taken on the miraculous journey of Mi'raj, when he came back with the gift of Salah, then he was commanded to face in the direction of Baytul Maqdis. Baytul Maqdis he was facing. Though they would have the Kaaba Sharif in front, but he was facing in the direction of Baytul Maqdis. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Sahaba made Hijrah to Madinah Tayyibah, for 16 to 17 months, they faced in the direction of Baytul Maqdis, not the Kaaba. Because that time, the Qibla of the Muslims was Baytul Maqdis. It was only after 16 or 17 months that Wahi being descended upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa was commanded thereafter that the Qibla has moved from Baytul Maqdis to Kaaba Sharif in Makkah Mukarramah. And this was the desire of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wanted to be distinct. He wanted his ummah to be distinct from the Qibla of the Ahl Kitab and the Qibla of Islam. That we must have nothing to do with the Jews and the Christians, the Ahl Kitab. We must be totally different, distinct from them in our dressing, in our interacting, in our business trends, in everything. We must not adopt their ways in anything. Even their Qibla also will be different. Our Qibla will be different. So this is what was the heart's desire of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that his ummah will fulfill that desire. If you mention the time where the Muslims were being persecuted and a lot of atrocities were leveled against them in Baytul Muqaddas in the time of Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali. So someone told us that Mawlana Yusuf Kandelvi Rahmatullah Ali, the second Amir of the Tabligh Jamaat, he said, Hazrat, make dua. Wallah, make dua that these Jews come out of this land, the land of Islam, the land of the Muslim, they must come out. They are persecuting the Muslims mercilessly, harming them, killing them. So Allah make dua. This Buzurg lifts his hands and he makes dua. Allahumma akhrijil yahudiyata wa nasraniyata an qulubil muslimin. He didn't say, Allah, remove the Jews and Christians from the land of the Muslims. He said, Allah, remove Christianity and Judaism and the ways of these people from the hearts of Islam and the Muslims. The hearts of the Muslims. As long as we have the love of the kuffar and their ways in our hearts, and we're aping them, we're emulating them, we're following them, Allah save us, brothers. How do we expect the help of Allah to come? Imagine a person is in his home. He only concerned about what is happening on the news. But he's breaking the commands of Allah like you can't believe it. With the cell phone, with the internet, and then the TV. He's watching all the haram. And then saying, see what's happening. What's happening? So we have to change. When the change will come about in the Muslims, then we find the change will come about in the world. Inna Allah la yughayru ma biqawmin hatta yughayru ma bi anfusihim. Allah won't change conditions until people change their intentions and they change their ways of life. They change their actions. As long as they don't change their actions, conditions won't change. Nevertheless, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, when he completed the masjid, It was a very happy occasion. Then Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam had 10,000 scholars to recite the Torah night and day in the masjid. 5,000 in the day and 5,000 in the night. As though that this masjid was abad with ibadat and the remembrance of Allah 24/7. Every moment this masjid was buzzing with the remembrance of Allah. Mufassirin write that after that Sulaiman alayhi salam completed the masjid, then he set out on a journey to go to Kaabatullah, to go to Masjid al-Haram. He recognized, he knew that this will be the main masjid of Islam. To show honor. And then he comes with a huge army. That army, when Sulaiman alayhi salam would travel, it would be a huge army of insan, jinnat, animals, birds, everything. And when they came to Masjid-e-Haram, they performed tawaf around the Kaaba Sharif. They remained there for a few days, sacrificing animals and feeding the people. And then he told the people, he said, this is the masjid of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the masjid of Nabi alayhi salam. And the Nabi Akhiriz Zaman is going to come, he will reside, he will be born in this place. And this will be his Kaaba Sharif. This will be his masjid. It will be his. And from here then he will make hijrat, he'll go to Madinah Tayyibah, inform them. They were surprised. They said, he will be Khatamul Anbiya wal Mursalin. He'll be the seal of all prophets. And he will be the greatest of Allah's messengers. And his ummah will be the greatest. He informed them everything. And they asked him that when will this occur? He says, no, after over thousands of years, then he will come in the world. And then he told the people that this information, you should pass it on about the Nabi Akhiri Zaman. The commentators of Quran, Hadith, Mufassirin say thereafter when they continued, then the incident took place where the bird Hudhud was not to be seen. He was absent. And then he says, where is this Hudhud? And then Hudhud came and informed about, you know, so I came across a woman and she is the queen of Saba, queen of Sheba. And they are worshipping the sun. Anyway, this is a different topic altogether. We're not going into this. So anyway, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam, when this is how Masjid-e-Aqsa. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people want to know that what does the hadith mention with regard to Masjid-e-Aqsa and the time before Qiyamah? What are the signs? Muslims are being targeted all the time in that land. When is the help of Allah going to come? When is the help of Allah going to come? So the answer of this is, as long as we don't come right, the help of Allah won't come. Help of Allah won't come. We should not only look at these people in that land and say, perhaps maybe due to their sinning, they're being targeted in this way. They're being oppressed in this way. No, no. Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida. We are one ummat. Allah says in the Quran, inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan. We are one ummat. And turn to Allah, fa'budun. And worship Allah, fear Allah. So Allah is saying that, so this Nabi Sallallahu also mentioned, al-mu'minun ka jasadin wahidin, that the Muslim ummah like one body. In ishtaka aynuhu, ishtaka kulluhu, wa in ishtaka ra'suhu, ishtaka kulluhu. If one part of this body is in pain, the entire body suffers. The entire body shares the pain. If the eye is paining, the entire body does, is restlessness, sleepless nights. Say, what happened? I got a problem. That is all the body. Said, no. So this entire ummah is one body. So every day we should make dua for the people of Palestine and the Muslims of the entire world. We should make dua. We should shed some tears. And we should leave out the life of sins that we are leading. It's on account of the sins of this ummah we find halat not changing. So at least we should make dua. At least we should give some sadaqah. If we can assist in whichever way, we should assist. And we should cry to Allah Ta'ala on behalf of our brothers. This is the least we can show. But anyway, all Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, it is recorded in the scriptures of the past, in the Torah. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's entire description has been given. What is the beautiful description of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam given in the Torah? Ismuhu al-Mutawakkil. That the Nabi that will be sent, the final Nabi, his name will be Mutawakkil, the one who relies upon Allah entirely. Entirely, his sight, his heart is on Allah all the time. Laysa bifazzin wala ghalizin wala sakhabin fil aswaq. He doesn't have a hard heart, he's not harsh in his behavior and conduct. And when he walks in the marketplace, He walks in a dignified way. He doesn't shout above his voice. Ummatuhu al-hammadun. His ummat, they will be praising Allah all the time, performing salah. La yadfa'u sayyata bisayya, walakin ya'fu wa yasfah. If harm is caused to him, he forgives. He doesn't retaliate harm with harm. And then it mentioned, mulkuhu bisham. His kingdom will be in Syria. In Baytul Muqaddas. Some of the muhaddithin explain, this is in reference to the time before Qiyamah when Mahdi will come, Isa alayhi salam will come. The base of the Muslims, the headquarters of Islam will be there. And Allah Rabbul Izzat will send Mahdi, divine assistance and help would be with him. And at that time, wherever this army will go, there can be no power to stand before them. They'll be mowing down the armies of the kuffar wherever they go. They'll be wiping out everything. Allah's help will be with the Muslims. But prior to that, in the world there will be a lot of unrest, problems, hardships and difficulties. Muslims will face great challenges. This is all predicted in the hadith. Rawayat of Muslim Sharif, the other Sihah Kitabs, other compilations of hadith. In the world, prior to Mahdi's coming, the world will be full, the main religion will be Christianity. Very Christianity. And the land around Baytul Muqaddas as well as Baytul Muqaddas will be taken over by the Kufar. The Jews will take over. Nabi alayhi salam mentioned all this. Umranu Baytul Maqdis Kharabu Yasrib. When the land of Baytul Muqaddas will be developed, it won't be like the past old structures. Now technology and advancements will set in. Huge skyscrapers, different. The Kufar will take over the land of Baytul Muqaddas and around. Umranu Baytul Maqdis. The Muhaddisin say, bi istilai al-Kufar. And the Muslims now are going to be driven out. They're taking over. Umranu Baytul Maqdis. So this will be the first sign. Kharabu Yasrib. Now I find everywhere the influence of Kufar. The influence of Kufar will be in the entire world right till the influence will be over Makkah, Mukarrama and Medina Tayyiba. Kharabu Yasrib. Medina Munawara will be the target. And we can see it. We can see the changes in the world. In such a short span of time, the whole world has changed. Such protocols in place that nobody can make any move. Such laws being passed against the laws of Islam. Allah save us. Umranu Baytul Maqdis Kharabu Yasrib. When Medina Munawara will be the target and the focus of Kufar, the influence will fall on these lands. Wa Kharabu Yasrib Khurujul Malhama. That will be the time that there will be wars will commence. Wars will start commencing. That's about to take place. Major wars. At that time, then Allah Rabbul Izzat will send the Mahdi. When the Muslims will be in great amount of turbulence, difficulty and strife. They won't know where to turn, who to ask protection and help from. Everywhere, Allah Rabbul Izzat will send the Mahdi. The Mahdi will come. When the Mahdi will come, then Allah's divine assistance will be with him. It is mentioned prior to that, he also won't know that he is the Mahdi. In one night, Allah will create the capacity within his heart, within his life, to take charge of this office of leading the Ummah. His army will be so huge and powerful, wherever they go, different wars will take place. The Mahdi will thereafter Khurujul Malhama, wa Khurujul Malhama Fathu Qustuntiniya. When these huge wars everywhere, the Muslims will just be winning. Then Mahdi will take his army and go and conquer Constantinople. Conquer Turkey. At that time, the Kufar will have taken over Turkey. Turkey will leave the hands of the Muslims before the time of Mahdi. Allah save Turkey. Turkey will be lost. Mahdi will come to liberate Turkey. The Nabi of Allah is explaining this in the hadith. That is how Mahdi will come. During the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Istanbul, the previous old name called Qustuntiniya, Constantinople, was being run by the Kufar. They are taken over. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had prophesied in the Mubarak Ahadith that from my ummah there will be an army. And that army will conquer Constantinople, Istanbul. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesied. And Nabi said, the riwayat comes in Mustadi Ahmad. How beautiful. Allahu Akbar. Look at the words of my Nabi. Brothers, you know, we need to have iman and yaqeen in the words of Nabi alayhi salam. Our Nabi told everything. If only his ummah can accept. Only. All these things have been prophesied by the Nabi of Allah over 1400 years ago. Everything to the T. The Nabi of Allah told, a time will come in my ummah, the dirham and dinar will lose its value. We saw what happened in Iraq. It lost its value there. Nabi said, prophesied it's going to happen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesied that Constantinople, the Muslims will take over. Nabi sallam told, at that time, it was the kuffar inhabiting those lands. And what Nabi says, لَتُفْتَحَنَّ الْقُسْطُنْتِينِيَا لَتُفْتَحَنَّ الْقُسْطُنْتِينِيَا وَلِنِعْمَ الْأَمِيرُ أَمِيرُهَا وَلِنِعْمَ الْجَيْشُ ذَلِكَ الْجَيْشُ. Nabi says, a time is soon to come. At that time, remember, the kuffaro were inhabiting that land. The Muslims didn't have control. Nabi says, he's saying before he left this world, Constantinople will be taken over by the Muslims. They'll conquer the land. My ummah will conquer it. وَلَنِعْمَ الْأَمِيرُ أَمِيرُهَا. And that Nabi will be a pious, and that Amir who will lead that army will be a pious man. Nabi said, what an excellent Amir he'll be over the army. وَلَنِعْمَ الْجَيْسِ ذَلِكَ الْجَيْسِ. What an excellent, what a pious army will be. Army, they'll be fighting in the path of Allah. They'll be a very pious army. What an excellent army. On account of this glad tiding that Nabi gave for a Jamaat in his Ummah to take over, many, many Sahaba, how many people, Tabi'een, the century that passed, they all tried. But it was not written. 857 after the Hijri, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Muhammad Fatih and his army went. Each one the desire that, hey, maybe this hadith, you know, I can get that honor. And they, Muhammad Fatih and how they conquered it. So this was 857. So Rasulullah sallam in this Mubarak hadith is informing us that Turkey will go. And then the Mahdi will come to liberate Turkey. And when they will conquer Turkey, at that time they will be distributing the booty. And then the rumor will be spread out. The rumor will go that Dajjal is out. And then they will send the horsemen, they will send some of the soldiers to go and verify the information. And then they will receive the information that no, it was a false rumor. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned in the Mubarak hadith, it won't be long thereafter Dajjal will make his appearance in the world. He'll come out from the east. And then he will be moving swiftly throughout the whole world, causing corruption. People will be losing their iman. The main people to follow Dajjal hadith mentions will be the usurers, people involved with the banks. Interest. Those people just lose their iman. Allah save us. Allah save us at that time. Mahdi radiallahu anhu will have his army, the base army base and the headquarters of the Muslims will be Baytul Muqaddas. They'll be preparing for the battle against Dajjal. Huge army Dajjal will have. It mentioned it will be the time of Fajr. The Azan of Fajr will be called out. And then time of Iqamat will come, Iqamat will be given. The hadith explains that will be the time Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will descend from the skies. He'll come down. When Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will be taking support on the shoulders of two angels, and he'll be coming down. Allama Ibn Kathir Rahimullah mentioned this difference of opinion, two opinions. He says Isa alayhi salam will come down from the skies in the Masjid of Damascus, the Eastern Minaret. That Minaret wasn't there in the 8th century, they built that Minaret, thinking that perhaps maybe he can come. And Allama Suyuti Rahimullah and other Muhaddiseen, they say that no, it will not be Damascus, it will be Baytul Muqaddas. And this is the Raji and the preferred opinion. Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullahi mentioned, he'll come on that side of Masjid Al-Aqsa, in Baytul Muqaddas, that side of the Masjid, that is towards Damascus. Sharqiyya Damishq, he'll come down. When he will come down, as Mahdi alayhi salam, Mahdi radiallahu anhu will tell him, he's the Nabi, Mahdi is not a Nabi. He'll tell him that, Hazrat, you perform the salah. So he said, the iqamat was given for you. And in the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this ummah has received the honor that a ummati can lead the Nabi in salah. No other ummah had this. But the ummati can lead the salah while the Nabi is behind. So you lead the salah. So the first salah will be performed by the Mahdi radiallahu anhu. And thereafter, Hazrat Isa al-Islam will lead all the other salah. The reins of leadership, Hazrat Mahdi will hand it over to him. After performing the Fajr salah, Mahdi and Hazrat Isa al-Islam will have the army ready. Hazrat Isa al-Islam will command to open the doors of the masjid. Masjid al-Aqsa, open the doors. And when they come out, they would see Dajjal with his army of over 70,000 Jews will be in that army. There'll be much more, over 70,000. And those 70,000 Jews will have certain swords adorned with type of jewelry. And you'll have taylasan shawls, some green shawls, a certain type of shawls. Isa alayhi salam's nazar will fall on Dajjal. He will shout out, Dajjal will become very frightened. Prior to that, he will be now destroying people's lives, robbing people of iman. Wherever he is going, he's carrying out supernatural feats. People are falling to his feet. It'll be at that time when you will see Isa alayhi salam, you'll recognize him. He will begin to melt like how salt melts in water. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will tell him, oh Dajjal, you can never escape me. It is written and decreed that my strike will strike you. And Dajjal will begin to flee. Wherever the breath of Isa alayhi salam will reach, the kuffar will just be dying. Isa alayhi salam will chase him, and Babi Lud, he will find him at that place and kill him there. So brothers, as far as this ummah is concerned, everything has been to the detail, the finest detail, chalked out by Rasulullah SAW, informed us. But the fear is that we don't need to know, you know, when an incident occurs, event takes place, something Rasulullah prophesies, it occurs before us. You say, yeah, you need to, hadith says it. The fear is that that time when what Nabi SAW prophesies, when it takes place before our eyes, that we must be on the right side of the fence. It shouldn't be when Mahdi comes, and Dajjal comes, that we were the army of Dajjal. The lifestyle we're leading is Dajjal will feel more comfortable in our home than Mahdi and Isa alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. Brothers, this is the fear. So Allah Rabbul Izzat make it such that this time we don't know how soon it is. We don't know how soon it is. But the ulama say it can be very soon. Of course, now we cannot pinpoint. What Allah Rabbul Izzat kept hidden, we cannot specify, we cannot say exactly when it's going to take place. But the way that everything is moving, we have to make a lot of dua for ourselves and the ummah. And the only solution is to turn to the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like how was the Sulaiman alayhi salam informed these people that this will be the rightly guided ummah. And they will be the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He told his ummah. Somebody asked, Mawlana, they're digging there. What they digging for? are they digging for the ring of Sulaiman alayhi salam? If they're digging for the ring of Sulaiman alayhi salam, it's not under there. Hadith mentions that prior to Qiyamah, after the sun will rise from the west, then there will be a creature that will come out, an animal, a creature will come out between Safa and Marwa. There'll be a huge earthquake, that creature will come out. The description of this creature has been given also. And he'll have the stick of Musa alayhi salam in one hand and the ring of Sulaiman alayhi salam in the left hand. Musa alayhi salam stick in the right hand and the ring of Sulaiman alayhi salam in the left hand. So if they're looking for the ring is not there. The ring is with that animal. And this animal will be commanded by Allah to travel the entire world, the whole globe. It very, very swiftly will move. It'll go to every person. And the stick of Sulaiman alayhi salam, it will touch their forehead. If they have iman, their whole face will be illuminated with nur. A sign of them passing away upon iman. Allah make us all pass away on iman. And if they don't have iman in their hearts, then with the ring of Sulaiman alayhi salam, it'll touch their foreheads. The whole face will turn black. And then just after that, the whole world, it will fulfill his mission, it'll disappear. So if you're looking for that, he's not there. If they're looking for the treasures of Sulaiman alayhi salam, his treasure was in the obedience of Allah. That was his power. His power was in the obedience of Allah. And that is the wealth of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he left to this ummah. Something they're looking for, that Kabbalah, you know, to be perhaps maybe, you know, how to rule over the jinn, how to do this magic. Whatever they're looking for, this doesn't relate to us, you know. And this is all speculation. We don't know, we won't be asked about it. And the solution to our problems and the problems of this ummah is not in this. The problems of this ummah is in rectifying. The solution of the problems of this ummah is rectifying our lives and coming back onto the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So I make dua that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala assist this ummah. Allah ta'ala help the people of Palestine, Baitul Muqaddas, our brothers and sisters. Our hearts should be crying every day for them. What face will we have before Allah on the day of Qiyamah? When we continued our lives in a normal way, that tear also didn't fall from that eye, that heart also didn't feel pain at the time when this ummah was in a crisis. How will we face Allah? In the hadith mentioned, Nabi Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned Mubarak hadith, that servant of Allah who didn't have the love of jihad in his heart, or he had no feeling for the mujahideen, he had no feeling for those who are striving, those who are fighting in the cause of Islam, for deen, he didn't have. He'll come on the day of Qiyamah in the condition of weakness of iman, deficiency of deen and iman, complete deficient. So we make dua, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala assist us, assist the ummah, assist the people of Palestine. Allah ta'ala change the conditions from difficulty to ease. And Allah ta'ala bless everybody with complete success in this world and the next. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammad. Wa ala ali sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Malik yawm al-deen. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهله فصلي وسلم على نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كما أنت أهله وفعل بنا كما أنت أهله فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة جزا الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما وأهله اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها عندك أعلى الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم والحمد لله رب العالمين نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرتا ولا همّا إلا فرجتا ولا دينا إلا قضيتا ولا مريضا إلا شفيتا ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة لك رضا إلا قضيتا ويسرتا يا أرحم الراحمين ربنا أتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشايخنا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم تجاوز عن سيئات أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم أصلح شؤون أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان اللهم انصرهم بنصرك يا عزيز يا غفار يا عزيز يا غفار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحابه أجمعين رحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.